Hello, welcome to another episode of our podcast. And today I'm going to be talking to you about something that is going to help you to navigate your way in the period we are in the world right now. You know, Jesus Christ said something to the Jews, right? Days, weeks before they crucified him. He said something. He said they did not know what makes for their deliverance. They rejected the solution that they have wanted just because it came in a different way. And they said no, and they didn't want it. And the same thing is happening today because, yes, Jesus Christ had come about 2,000 years ago. He died and resurrected the third day. And since then, the revolution started from his resurrection to the time in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost came on earth and the church officially started with power, with demonstration, speaking in tongues, healings, and the gospel started and spread throughout the world to where it is today. So today we have the gospel being preached, and unfortunately there is a counter move, which is the move of the Antichrist, to stop people from receiving the truth. And just like when Jesus came and they did not recognize it was the answer to the prayer they had been waiting for, same thing today. Jesus Christ's message is here, but unfortunately we have a different kind of spirit that is taking the position of Christ in the hearts of men, to the point that people now are nonchalant about Christ and his power to save. Because you see, it's like when you buy a fake product and it does not deliver what the original product was meant to deliver to you. Say for example, now you buy a fake cream that is supposed to help heal your skin, smooth it and all that, and you now, instead of buying the original, you buy the fake, and that's your first experience with the cream, in quote now, because really it's a fake of the original, so you're not really having any, you know, experience with the original. So now you have an unpleasant experience with the fake posing as the original, and of course it's unpleasant, it didn't deliver and all that. So people now have a negative impression of the product, thinking you bought the original. And this is what has been happening all over the world. People are seemingly meeting with a Christ that does not meet the expectations that has been projected, that has been sold to them. And even when they are supposed to be born again after making a public confession of Christ, the message that comes with it is not Christ. The Bible calls it, it puts it this way. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, they project to be the solution. They project to be Christ, but they do not allow Christ. They do not accept the power of transformation. So what do they give to you? They give you religion, they give you motivation, but there's no transformation. They get you hyped up, they get you excited, they promise you everything, and they deliver nothing. So it's a lot of hot air, but no transformation. Because Christ is supposed to be the end of the law. It's supposed to be the end of your struggles. It's supposed to be the end of your sufferings. It talks about no sorrow, no pain, It talks about no killing, no death, but life. But now you have people telling you about a Christ that is not what the Bible talks about. So you have today people getting confused, getting exasperated with the Christianity they have. It is devoid of power. It is full of motivation, hypes. It's full of manipulation. It's full of promises without delivery. It's full of worldliness. So what you see is people posing, imitating the original without delivering on its promise, the promise of the original. So you may have been a Christian, you think you are a Christian just because you go to church. That doesn't make you a Christian. No. I could go to a mosque, doesn't make me a Muslim. To be born again is what we're talking about. It means Christ comes into you. He becomes Lord over your life. You surrender to him. You submit to him. He is not an appendage to you. He does not follow your orders. When you come to Christ, it is the end of self. It is the beginning of him over your life. So this is the message, that Jesus Christ has paid the price for you to be set free. He took your place. He died in your place that you may live, and not live alone, but live the life of God. Because when you come into Christ, you have received him. So now you are in him, and he is in you. When you receive Christ, you receive God in you to teach you, to direct you, to help you, to develop you, to be all he wants for you to be. Another thing is that people come into Christ, or they think they are in Christ, and they have all this ambition, these things they want to do, and they never care for what God wants them to do. Let me tell you something. When you come into Christ, he has a plan already available to you. Those plans were there before you were born. So coming to Christ is coming back to what he originally planned for you. And you can only get that information from him. He tells you what he wants you to do, where he wants you to live, who he wants you to be with, who your friends ought to be, where you ought to school, where you ought to work, the kind of business you ought to do. He tells you. You listen for him. So your fellowship with him will reveal the things he planned for you. Because there's a book written of you. Written about you. Your entire life has been written down. But you don't know what is written concerning you. So when you come to Christ, he begins to show you what has been written concerning you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us, he said, look, the Spirit of truth that the world does not know, he will lead you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will comfort you. He will provide for you to accomplish the reason for your existence. Now, people come to Christ and they have all these things they want God to help them do. Now, if it is that you are in danger, like your health, you're broke, you're homeless and all of those things are non-negotiable. God wants to help you with all those things. But when it comes to your calling, what you are called to do on earth, he determines that, not you. He can plant thoughts in your heart. He can plant the desire for those things in your heart. But he will confirm that those thoughts are from him. You may not have heard a voice saying, oh, this is what I want you to do. No, he may plant thoughts in your heart, put a desire there. In fact, let me tell you something. It's not so much that he puts the desire there. At the time you become born again, in that, okay, let me make her like it. No, or make him like it. No. It is that You were created for that thing to begin with. So when you come to Christ, all the things that have blocked that desire in your heart are removed, and you discover that you begin to love a certain thing, a certain way. You love to do certain things. You love the Lord and all those things. So your desire for God begins to find expression. There are certain things you begin to love to do. You know? So those things are there. They are part of who you are. Now, the hindering force, the darkness that held those things bound in you, refusing for their expression to take place, those things are lifted. Now you are free to be who you are called to be. That's what it means to worship God, because your entire being, your creation was for God. So, you know, and you that's what worship is, because you are worshiping God, doing what he created. When you do what you are created to do, what God created you to do, that is what you are, that's worship. Oh, yes. Doing what God created you to do is the highest form of worship. Let me say it again. Doing what God created you to do is the highest form of worship. Is the highest form of worship. You must know this. Now, if you don't know what you are called to do, how are you living? So you need to know what God called you to do. That you may worship him. Jesus said something to his disciples when they met him at the well, where he met the Samaritan woman. He said, "My food is to do his will. My food is to do his will." Now, if you think about what he said, you know, Jesus said something else. He said, look, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. It was quoted in the Old Testament. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, if you put these two together, you will realize that when he said, my food is to do what he called me to do, he's saying his word is my food. When I hear his word, I have eaten. I live by the words that proceeds from his mouth. That's what it means. So when he speaks to you, your spirit is fed. And your spirit is fed, everything else takes place, falls into place. You have to understand this. The greatest adventure is to discover your purpose. The greatest adventure is to live every day for his word. The Bible calls it manna. And if you study the story of manna, God told them that, look, gather enough for each day. Do not keep any for the following day, except on the sixth day, because you will not gather on the seventh day. So gather for both for the sixth and seventh day on the sixth day. Apart from the sixth day, every other day from day one to day five, you only gather for a day. In other words, it must be fresh. The word of God you hear must come every day. Spending time with God daily is your life. Knowing what he wants for you to do. Now, that doesn't mean you would hear a loud voice giving you the instructions for today. No, it means that you will spend time with him, fellowshipping with him, eating his words, reading his word, meditating on his word before anything else. And during that fellowship, during that period of quiet time, that separation where you block everything else out, his thoughts, his heart, his desire will be ministered to you. It will remove hindrances. It will remove things from your heart that will block him from you. It will remove those things, and it will help those things he has already put inside of you to come out. Then your day is ready, because now you have eaten. Now you are ready to live for that day. So you see that you ought to spend time with him more than you spend time with anything else or anyone else. You get it? So it says, my food is to do what he called me to do. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The life of a believer is from the mouth of God. The life of a believer, the just shall live by faith. Your life does not proceed from your physical heart or anything physical. It comes from God daily. That's what it is. So he says, they did not know the day of their visitation, but they rejected that. So what happened to them? So when he was riding on the donkey, you know, when he was going, he had the thought. He said it. Look, he wept for them. So he wept for Jerusalem, because they didn't understand that the solution to their problem had come. The word had been made flesh. It had come as a person. You know, he said in the book of John, he said, look, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You know, but the idea is this. Man was created to receive from God the words of life. Life is not just existing. Life is living. Life is for living. And to live, your very living, your very life is an act of worship. That's the reason you were created. So when you live according to God's will. You live out the will of God for you. That's your portion. That's what you are called to do. That's why Jesus Christ said, look, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. So, and where does he get it from? From God. God releases his manna unto him, and he leaves it out. And that manna comes from gathering. You gather. How do you gather? From the word. You gather. See, you have 66 books, right? In the Bible. 66 books. And obviously, you're not going to read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation every day. No. But you gather from it that which you need for today. Now, it's not just you reading a particular scripture, as good as that is. It is that you fellowship with God. Now, there are things that you would get from that fellowship that are beyond understanding. Look, the Bible makes it clear that some things are beyond understanding. Some things are not taught. Some things are impacted. Some things are gotten by reason of fellowship, by reason of proximity with God, by reason of proximity with the Word. So your interaction with the Word, which is part of meditating on the Word, actually allows you to be immersed in the essence of the Word. What is the essence of the Word? The essence of the Word is the essence of God. What is the essence of God? It is what God is, this love. You understand? That is why you find many times people getting blessed and there's no logical reason why they should be blessed. Sometimes you say, look, this person is a sinner. Why is God blessing this person? Look, in many cases that we have seen, it's because the love, they don't hold evil. You see, there are certain things that blocks the flow of life. Avoid those things, unforgiveness and the likes. So, but this what I'm telling you today. Immerse yourself within God. And let me tell you something that is very, very important. Please listen to this. You can read the Bible. You can read 2 chapters, 10 chapters, 30 chapters a day. And it might not be more than that. You read, then you memorize, and that may just be it. But someone who reads a verse with their whole heart will get more than someone who read so many, a great portion of the scriptures without full devotion. I believe that's why they call it morning devotion. You devote yourself to God. You give Him your all. That 1 hour, 2 hours, 30 minutes, whatever time it is that you give to God, it is not shared with any other thing. You are there. Look, this is the most valuable part of my day. Spending time with you in your word, in my quiet time. And you block every other thing. You are making a statement. You are saying, these few minutes, 1 hour or 2 hours that I'm spending with you is the most valuable thing to me. Everything else can be put on hold, but this comes first. And it is the first 2, 3 hours of the day that you take, out of your 24 hours, you take this, you wake up in the morning and you spend your first few minutes or hours, it varies for everybody. And you spend that time with God. You are making a statement. You are valuing it. And that's when you get the value. That's when you get things from it. If you do it just as a routine or a ritual and your heart is not in it. When we said put your heart into it, we are saying value. You know, Jesus Christ says something. Look, he said, where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. So if you treasure it, your heart will be there. Whatever you do for the Lord, do it from your heart. Value God more than anything else, then you would be transformed. You don't know the value of what I just said. If you really think about it, this is a big deal. And it's the reason why many people miss it, because it's so simple. It's so simple. Let me say this also to you. If you give God your heart, if you dedicate yourself to God, really, really dedicate yourself to Him. Not out of fear, but out of love. That would be the hardest thing to do. As simple as it is, what I'm saying is this: God will do the difficult things for you. Yeah. He will make it count. He will do things that you cannot achieve on your own when you give Him His due. I hope you got that. Never ever spend time with God if not from your heart. Because it's gather distance early. It gather them. Gather early. Go out early. Say, look for me when I can be found. You know what that means? There's a particular time that God is available to you like no other. God is available to you 24 hours, yes. But listen to me. It's about value. It's about value. It's about value. Naturally, you have strength early in the day. More than later in the day. So you put most work early in the day so that you get more done when your strength is high, when your motivation is high. Then you put the lesser work later in the day when you are getting tired. So you do your best work early in the day normally. So if early in the day is the most, valuable time in your 24 hours, and you pick an hour, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 2 hours of that prime time to give to God. You are saying, Lord, you mean more to me than anything else I will do today. You are the most precious to me. You are the most valuable to me. You demonstrate your love. It's like your wife. There are millions, billions of women out there, but you pick her out of the millions, out of the billions out there. It's like your husband. There are many men who came to you, but you said, no, this is the person I want to be with. You chose him out of many. That's value. You're valuing, you're demonstrating value, love. Same thing with God. Give God your prime time. Give God your best time. Everybody wants your attention at that time. I say, no. You put your phone on silence. You know, you put do not disturb on your phone. You lock your door. You say, look, let everybody know that between this time and this time, don't bother trying to call me. I'm not going to answer you. I'm spending time with my God. Let them know you value God. So I hope you get what I'm saying. I've said a lot of things. If you follow what I'm said in this particular episode, it will help you a lot. I really do hope you get it now. I don't want you to get this 20 years from now, 10 years from now, 5 years from now. No, I want you to get it now. Because if you get it now, you would go in a different direction and you will move faster. You'll get more. You'll make more impact in life and all of that. So God bless you for listening. I really bless you. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, the words you've heard today will count for you and not against you. It will lift you, transform you. Because really the idea is about transformation. You come into Christ to be transformed into the very image of God in his fullness. God bless you. And as you listen to the message with your heart, of course, you have a right to question it. Picked up the Bible, is this true and all of that? Then read again, you know, listen again. And when you do, it will transform your life because these are the words of God, not the words of a man. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these ones who are listening to this. I bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give you praise for their transformation. Let there be transformation in their lives. Let there be healing in their lives. Let the trauma be healed. In the name of Jesus, no more carrying pain and trauma in their lives. The spears of the enemy, the darts, the fiery darts that are lodged in their souls, I command them removed now in Jesus' name. That's that unforgiveness that they are harboring. Lord God, I pray, Lord, it melts away. Let burn it with your fire. I pray for them. Give them strength to forgive and forget and let go. Let them not hold any man in their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. God bless you. I thought I should share this with you. Please do have a great time. I love you. God bless you.